God, bless you, Father. All things. With that, we do give him thanks and praises, for he is worthy of all accolades of worship. We come into his presence to bow before him, to give him thanks. And our voice is filled with accolades of worship unto him, not unto man, not unto some form of religious practice, but to glorify him. Not to esteem ourselves, but to esteem him highly. In the midst of his house, where his name abides. And for that I'm very grateful and thankful. The world, they extol their gods. The god of football, basketball, the god of their lusts, their nationalities, their races, their countries, their intellectual properties. Yet he is the creator of all things. Yet his name is not known amongst man. He created the heavens and the earth. And he took the dust of the earth and he made man. Yet there is no honor and glory given unto that one or that name. We have esteemed leaders. Napoleon Bonaparte. President Reagan. President George W. Bush. We esteem them. And their names are mentioned throughout the airways. Their names are credited with certain accomplishments. Yet the name of Yahweh doesn't resonate in the hearts of the people today. Somewhere we have missed the mark. Somewhere our religious dogma has not instructed us in the purity of his truth. And in order for him to be revealed totally and purely, he must be known. You must know whom you are expecting. And that is why we have walked in religious attitudes and religious personas that do not personify him. It exalts your self-righteousness. It esteems your goodness and your kindness. It shows you your worth. But it never extols the very power of the one that made you and created you. There's one thing about grammar. As I was looking this morning, I looked up the word T-O. I understood the applications of the word. And T-O-O. And one means one thing and the other means another. One is a prepositional phrase or a preposition. And the other is an adverb that it indicates a degree. And if I use T-O or T-O-O, you will not know the proper two that I use unless you understand the semantics of grammar. And what semantics is, it gives us an indication of the meaning of the word within the context of grammar. Now, we have learned phonics. We know how to pronounce words. We don't understand semantics. We don't understand the proper position of a word and the placing of that word, that it reveals unto you the meaning of a statement that is made. If I said, I will go to the store, you that understand that preposition, you understand that it is T-O, because it indicates. If I say to you, you can sell the house, the car and the candy too. You understand that that is an adverb. So you must use T-O-O. And so in that application, you understand the semantics. The semantics of grammar. And because of our vernacular, we have not understood the semantics of grammar. And so we use words. We think we have understanding. And we truly do not. Would you, as you send your children to school, you send them to people that they declare are certified that they are professionals. They have a certain degree of understanding. You cannot come out of high school I'd be an English teacher. There are certain courses that you must go through, and you must have a degree. And so when a child goes to school, that teacher has been thoroughly furnished and equipped with what it takes to bring that child through the proper grammar of English and the steps and the functions of English. Now, most children will try to tell the teacher what it takes, yet they have no understanding. And yet the teacher has spent laborious hours, late night studying for exams, that they may understand the proper semantics of English or German or Russian, and they may impart that in to that student. And yet today, there are men of Yahweh that labored before him, that he opens up their hearts to pour out unto them the revelation of his son, as he did with John or the Isle of Patmos. And men today, they reject that. They will not even honor the laborious labor of a man that has spent 20 years laboring to understand the purity of Scripture. And yet they will receive from a novice that has no understanding or no knowledge at all. And they will accept their judgments. They will accept their ideas. When it comes to those things that are purely divine and from the Father, he reveals them unto those that he intends to impart that truth, that it may be entrusted unto faithful men. No, he doesn't entrust you with just anything. He imparts that unto men that are faithful and that have the heart's desire and the willingness and the purpose to do it with sincerity of heart, that he may be glorified and that his name may be exalted. Now, we have done many things in ignorance. You have gone to take a test in school, not properly, thoroughly furnished to take the test. And you failed. You saw your mistakes too. You looked at those questions again and you realized where you made the mistake. You can see the errors there. Now that is what this life is all about. We have started out on a highway. We have incorporated every kind of insidious, dark thing that has accommodated us in our religious walk. And we think it identifies with Almighty Yahweh, and it does not at all. It does not. It does not reveal his power, his truth. For if it did, we would not walk constantly in sin and in rebelliousness. We would adhere and obey what the Father commands us to do. And so as John was led by the Holy Ghost, there on the Isle of Patmos, he was there for two things. He was there for the word of Yahweh, is what Scripture says. And he was there for the revelation of Messiah. This one that had walked with him, that knew him, that had rested upon his bosom, that had dined with him, was there when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And yet you always have to separate him from all identities of the flesh, from any kind of Hebrew heritage, from mom and dad, from any attachment, to put him on that barren place in the Aegean Sea, that he could hear what the Father would speak unto the generations of his house. And he may bring warnings unto them by this profound revelation of this Son that shall be revealed in the latter times. So he could not compromise with flesh. He could not compromise with his will. But he had to speak according to the dictates of Almighty Yahweh. And the words that the Father spoke unto to him, even through the mediator of Messiah, he had to speak them with integrity, honesty of heart, and with the purpose of Almighty Yahweh may be glorified in everything that was revealed unto him as he sent the letters unto the houses of faith, the assemblies, the tabernacles, that they may know this one that they trust in. that he may be revealed in a way, his personality, his character, his ideas, that there will be no doubt at all as to whom we serve. There is much doubt today. People don't know. We will attest that we do know because of our own arrogance and our own pride. But this is an ignorant generation. It rejects the laws of Yahweh, his truth. And this is a generation that is not going to adhere to the rule of the government of Almighty Yahweh. I was speaking this morning and yesterday. You look at man and his corruption. Men will send their wives out on jobs and men will go to jobs. And yet their employer, they will have to go to them and say, may I take a vacation day? Or may I take a day off to be in my child's school retire? And they go to the wicked and request. And the wicked stimulate such fear in them. That's what they do. If they are sick, they must report to them that they are sick. And if the foreman says you do this, they don't question that. They do it without any question at all. Yet the man of Yahweh says, stop your sinning, don't do that. Then there's a vehement attitude against that. And yet they will go to the world. And the world will command them what to do, and they will do. Women will go and not even obey their husbands, but yet they will obey another man. You tell me that's Yahweh, that is the tilt of wickedness. Yet if someone, a saint, a brother, sister, say something to their child, they will get perturbed behind that. Yet they will send them off to these pedophiles and freaks and what we call the schoolhouses. And they will instruct them in all kinds of vile and evil things. And they will entrust them to these that are vile, evil and perverted. Yet they will take heed to what they say, that your child needs Prozac. Your child needs this kind of drug. And they will take heed to that corrupt spirit in those, and they will do it. Don't let the man of Yahweh says that the child needs a good spanking on her rear side. And they will come against that. They will become very adamant in their stance. They become very perturbed in their stance against the man of Yahweh. And yet they will go to the world. They must tell them when they are sick. They must ask them for a day off. They must request for vacation. And they must go to them and ask them constantly. Sure they do. Sure they do. You can dress it any way you want to, but that's the way it is. Yet if a man of Yahweh says, don't do that, sister, they become very perturbed. Yet on their job they will say, don't wear that to the job again. And they will obey that. Yet these vile men that call themselves husbands, they will put their wives under the subjection of that vile, unclean spirit. Yet they're ready to pounce on the man of Yahweh because he tells her she's a wicked, vile thing. Yet the world tells her what to wear, what time to get up. She says she loves her children and she leaves them with strangers, and the world requires more time of her time than her children. That's not of Yahweh. It's not the will of the Father. And as I began to think on that this morning, as Yahweh even yesterday, as he began to show me the parallel of this wicked, vile generation that has no fear of all at Yahweh. They will say, I don't have to say anything to that preacher. I do what I want to. And yet they will go and spend 9-10 hours a day on a job. Over half of their day. And they're subject unto the rule and the authority there. And they will not rebel against that. Wife comes home and says, I don't know about this job. They vex me. I'm so tired of it. Well, honey, go to the boss man. Or don't complain about it. That's what they will do, and subject them to that. And they say they love Yahweh, they're perverts. Amen. I said that. They're perverts. They don't even know Yahweh. No. This generation and this generation to take your children and give them to the powers of hell, these atheists, these perverts, to impart that spirit into their young minds, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh.
Amen.
And that is the truth. And that is the truth. You give your child to the world, there's no love there. You teach them worldly visions. To have the desire of the world, don't tell me you love them. You are a pervert and a liar. And that is the truth. And yet a man of Yahweh would say, what you need to do with that little child, you need to stop her from doing that. I know how to raise my child, and yet you send it off for someone else to raise it. You're not even a mammy. You're not even a pappy. And that's the truth. When you come to the knowledge of Yahweh's truth, you can't turn away from it. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Woe unto your soul. Well, I want my child to get an education. Yahweh is all-knowing. He has all knowledge. He is thoroughly furnished with understanding. He created all things. There is nothing that is seen that He did not create that. Yet there is no thought of those things. Yet there is no vehement protest against that. Well, just do your best job, honey. You just do the good job on your job. But they're vexing me. You go to work every day. And yet when it comes to brothers and sisters dwelling together, when it comes to that, yet they cannot even tolerate that. But they were born in this wicked world now, and the husband will summon the wife to every kind of vile spirit there is, every kind of unclean thing there is, and he will tell her, just do your best. It's not the spirit of your way. That's not what he commands. He commands for the women to be keepers of home. And that is the truth. You used to have grandmothers and mothers that would teach these things. They're so perverted today, they don't know. They're so corrupt. They're so corrupt that they're compromising with their children. They're compromising their faith and they're going to hell. I don't take one word back. They're going flat to hell. They compromise with their sons, their daughters, their grandchildren. They see the sins and they know it's corrupt. Love would tell you sin. And that's why Pastor Roberts would tell you of your sins and your corruption. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's why John was there for this profound revelation to be revealed. Who is this one that we truly call on? Do we truly know him? Is he visible to us? Do we sense him in the depth of our souls, our hearts? Is there a reality there? Do we know that he truly exists? How do you know that? How can you know that without a shadow of a doubt? John said he was in that place for the word of Yahweh. Unless you receive the word, you can't receive the revelation. Unless you receive the word, you cannot receive the revelation. He was there, first of all, for the Word. The Word was made flesh, and in that Word was revealed the power of the Father. Unless you receive the Word, you cannot receive the revelation. And that's why there is a revelation today. Men don't want to receive the Word, because the Word of Yahweh corrects a man. And shows him his inability and his sins. Shows him his faults. He was there, first of all, for the word of Yahweh and for the revelation of Messiah. That's what he was there for. No folly. He wasn't there to find out if mama was in the kingdom. He was there for the revelation and the revealed truth of Almighty Yahweh, that he may know this truth, and without a shadow of a doubt that he may speak it unto the house of Yahweh without any compromising at all. Now we must be in that place where we can hear the Word. And in that Word, it was made flesh, it is revealed the Son, the truth of the Son, the reality of the Son, the purpose of the Son, and the knowledge of the Son. John says in Revelation chapter 1, and verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Yeshua, was in the isle that is called Patmos. First of all, he said, for the word of Yahweh, and for the testimony, the Messiah, this revealed power of the witness that he is a revealed word of Almighty Yahweh. And that is what he was there for. For this profound truth to be revealed unto him. Now, we are not coming before Almighty Yahweh for his word and the testimony of Messiah to bear witness or reveal unto us that our purpose is in vain. It's not here. We're not here for bump or shout. We're not here because of good music. He was not there for the singing. He was there for the word and for this testimony to see if it bore witness with the word. You must first of all get the word in your heart. Once you get the word in your heart, it will bear witness of the testimony of whom he is. It will bear of the testimony of the Son and the Father. You cannot separate them at all. They're one. For the name is one. There are no two names, but one name. Yahweh. And Messiah came in the Father's name. No two names. No separation. No segregation there. There's one name. One name. That's why he commanded them to go into the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name. In the name. In the name of the Father and of the Son. He did not choke back anything on that. Then what is the Father's name? If you find the Father's name, you will know that the Son's name is of the Father. And you must find the Father's name to understand what name the Son is of. I am of the stock of Judah. I am of the stock of Benjamin. I am of the stock of Issachar. I am of the stock of Manasseh. You are not the progenitor of that tribe, but yet you are the stock of one of those 12 tribes. So you must know the Father's name, first of all, to know that the Son is of the Father. That is the truth. That is the truth. So we must have the testimony of Messiah in accuracy, in truth. He cannot send on to Pergamos, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira. He cannot send unto those assemblies a false witness. Had to be truth. So that's why he was there, waiting for this word to stimulate his heart and this testimony of Messiah. He had to be there. And that is the only way you're going to receive his truth today. Amen. You're not going to receive it a part of your religious tradition. No. And that's the truth. Amen. He has allowed all kinds of things. It has shuffled the heart of Yahweh. He has permitted these things. Amen. He allowed them to marry and divorce. But from the beginning, it was not so. No. He suffered that thing. Amen. And don't tell me he has been long-suffering with us. Amen. That's why we count the soul long-suffering of Yahweh's salvation. As salvation. It is very hard to penetrate this natural mind of man. It's very arrogant. Look at yourself. It's haughty. It's very self-will. It knows everything. It doesn't know anything at all. It's very personal to you, me, myself, and I. And it's very difficult for Yahweh to penetrate that thing. That's why he came to destroy the power of it. That we let the mind of Messiah, that heart, that spirit that was in him be in us as well. Why? Because he sought not to please himself. Amen. He sought to please his Father. Amen. And everything about you seeks to please you. Amen. Everything about you seeks to please you. Now, that's not the will of the Father. No. That's not the will or the testimony of Messiah. No. He did not seek to please himself. No. But he came to please the one that sent him. And have we been bought with a price? Then we ought not to please ourselves, but the one that has paid the price for us. Amen. And so what we ought to do is consider him Messiah, consider what he's done. Consider all of the opposition that was against him. Unless we become weary in our minds and we faint. And that's why folks are fainting today. Very little love. Amen. And don't tell me we love him because you haven't seen him in a physical sense. When you can't love your brother and sister, you can't love him. And that's the truth. You can't be partial. You got to do it right. Because if you're partial, then woe unto you. That's what Paul called dissimulation. That love be without dissimulation has to be pure, has to be right. Because if it's not, you're going to awaken in the dark bias of hell. And that's the truth. I preach the truth, for he is the truth. I preach him. Him alone. Yahweh. And that is his name. It's not Lord God, but it's Yahweh. We defy the commandments of Yahweh. I want to read a scripture. For I want to use this as my platform today. As we warn this generation, this broadcast or this message will go out throughout much of the United States and different parts of the world. No, it is not covering the entire world. But it will touch those that Yahweh intends for it to touch. And they will hear and they will receive his truth. Only to the house of Israel was Messiah sent. And he is coming back again only for house of Israel. No one else. Only those that names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation. You hear that? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundations of the earth. Now that is why I laid out that little schematics of the English language. And it is a general rule of any language. There are schematics there. And America has taught you well to pronounce words, but you don't understand the proper placing of those words and grammar structure. You boast at your children because they can pronounce certain words, and yet they have no meaning of what it is. You have learned the phonics well. They understand the phonics and the sound of the words well. And yet they do not understand the proper placement of words. And that is what has happened to this generation. It is an ignorant generation. It is a very sordid one. And this truth, he is not going to entrust this with every man. No more he did with the apostles. He didn't trust that with every man. He called 12. And he knew that one was a devil too. He knew that. That had to be done, that the Father's name be glorified. For he was able to raise him from the grave again. And he did it too. And that's the truth. I want to read in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1. I want to begin reading. Revelation 15 verse 1 down to verse 4. John said, and I saw another sign in heaven. He said, great and marvelous. What a profound revelation. It was a great sign, and it was one that was marvelous, without descriptive wordings to describe it in its fullness. So he gave us a metaphor of actually those things that would transpire. He said, I saw seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of Yahweh. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. He said, I saw them standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, I did that for your learning. And for those that hear this broadcast or this message on the broadcast, I want to show you something here. He said, I saw them having the harps of God. Elohim, your way. Verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways. Thou art King of the saints. Verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? I receive that. I'll accept that for your learning. Who will not fear thee, O Lord? Now, the word Lord is simply a title or a position. That's what that describes. I will use that, even though it's not the proper thing there. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Now, this is what I want to get to. And glorify thy name. Now, what is his name? Is that one that John saw, great and mighty, and marvelous was he? Then tell me his name. He did not say, who shall not glorify your position of your place, but your name. Let it be that he was a Lord, that is his position. He is Lord. Now he said, who shall not glorify thy name? What is his name? What is the name that you must glorify? Who shall not glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy, and all nations shall come and worship before thee, and thy judgments are made manifest. Let it be a Lord. Now what is the Lord's name? Who shall give honor unto his name? What name do you give honor unto? Who shall not glorify his name? Who shall not make his name glorious? Is this simply the title he holds? That is what the Lordship is. It is his title. That is what God is. It is a title of position. It is not his name, but it is simply the title of his possession. Who should not fear thee, O Lord? Let it be stated that way. Yet who shall not glorify thy name? That is his position. He is Lord of Lord, as we say. What is his name? He said, who shall not glorify thy name? Now scripture must imply this throughout scripture. That Yahweh intends for us to glorify his name. It cannot be one statement. He made a statement because he was there for the word of Yahweh. And David had already received the word before John was ever on the earth. And David had spoken these same words. He is Yahweh Almighty and he changeth not. His words are steadfast. They're everlasting words. He doesn't speak off the cuff. What he says, it is truth. Everything he says is truth. So who will not glorify Yahweh of the name of this mighty one that stood in that position? Here it is, John seeing this glorious edifice of the mighty power of Yahweh. Yet he describes him as being the ruler. That's what the Lord is, the ruler. The one of authority. The one of dictatorship. The one of oppression. That's what the Lord is. Now he saw this mighty one and he identified him as the Lord. And yet this mighty one had a name that he said, who shall not glorify thy name? What is the name you glorify? You glorified everything but his name. And he has a name that he wants to be glorified. And we must glorify his name. You can't glorify your traditions. You must glorify his name. If he is the master of your life, then his name must be known in the bosom of your heart. And when his name is spoken, it calls everything about his name to come alive in your soul. That's what the name does. You watch Lou Adra, watch him. He will say, Daddy, Papa. He will cry, Mama. He knows exactly her position, her place in his life. What did he say? Brother Dale will say, you want Celeste? He knows that name. He understands that because that name is associated with her love, her gentleness, her kindness, her motherly purpose, her milk, her breast. That is the name. Now watch that. I watch Brother Dale bring him into the gym. And after he gets frustrated with Daddy, he'll say, Mama, Mama.
then he was saved. So last, and then his whole ambience changes because he understands that name. That's where the power of love is, in that name. The power of protection and comfort is in that name. And so when he hears that name, he glorifies it. He smiles, he rejoices at that name. And that is what the name of Yahweh is. And I'm going to preach it until I die. Let it be that he is the Lord. What name are you going to glorify? You can sit here all ignorant all you want to and deny him. Woe unto your soul. The scripture says, as you always said to Israel, when you hear Yahweh's truth or his word, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation. Don't provoke him to anger. Don't do that, for he will begin to harden your heart even more, that you will reject him. He will do that. For this purpose I've raised Pharaoh up. Moses said, let Yahweh's people go. He said, who is this God you're talking about? He said, his name is Yahweh. And Yahweh said, he won't receive that, so I'll harden his heart even the more. For what purpose? To get glory and for his purpose to be manifested. He is not playing with this generation. It's going to be a pure people. And they're going to do just like Miriam and the sisters. They're going to sing the song. Look at what they were singing. They were singing. They were singing. That's what scripture says. And they sing the song of who? Of who? They sang the song of Moses. You tell me that was the word of Yahweh? John said he was there for the word of Yahweh. And for the revelation or the testimony of Yahshua. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, those in the heavens. That's what they were singing. And there was another song, and the song of the Lamb sang, great and marvelous are thy works. They sang two songs. And Moses went unto that stubborn Pharaoh, and he declared unto him, Yahweh says, let my people go. Saints, come on, just use your natural knowledge. There were many gods in Egypt. There were Dagon. There were all kinds of gods. Moses could not go and say, God said, let my people go. He said, who is the God? Tell me his name. The ignorance of this generation is a stubborn one. It defies Yahweh's truth. Why? Because we are so traditionalized that our tradition make void the word of Yahweh. He couldn't go to him saying that. He could not stand before Pharaoh and say, the God of heaven. He says, Asheroth live in heaven. Jupiter. Mars. The God of love. You're not telling me anything. Tell me this God's name. And then when he began to speak on that name, that was a different thing. He says, Pharaoh says, I tell you what's going to happen. And the plagues began to fall on Egypt by the power of the hand of Yahweh. You're not going to deny his name. The plagues are going to fall. And that's the truth. That's why the plagues of this nation. Saints, I warn you, if nothing else, you can leave today. I would find me a place where I can consecrate myself and lay before him and just die. If nothing else. Nothing else. I won't do nothing else. For the time is at hand. It's near. Salvation is nearer than when you first believed. It's close by hand. And if Yahweh doesn't raise up men of truth and stamina and purpose, that his name may be glorified as he raised Yahshua. He said, for this purpose, I've come to this hour for one thing, that his name may be glorified. The works would have been no good unless the Father's name would have been glorified in the works. If that had failed, then he would have looked like a charlatan and a scamp. So he had to do the works that the name, not the authority. The authority is in the name. So he had to do those works to make known the name. The name had to be made known. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Is that his name? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Shall we not fear him? Should we not fear Yahweh? If you fear him, you glorify his name. If you don't fear him, you will not glorify his name. You say to him, to hell with his name. That's the truth. He said, who will not fear thee, O Lord? And who will not glorify your name? Man truly fears his name when he hears it. And Yahweh opened up that knowledge to him. He did not open that knowledge up to the heathens. He only opened that up to his house. The heathens didn't know him. They only knew him by the works and his might and his power that he would perform on the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. And they would say, truly, this Yahweh of Israel, he is not like ours. You see, that's how he was made known to them. In a mighty manifestation of his power, we will wreak havoc upon them. And this is a heathen generation. He's going to do the very same thing. He's going to do that, and every knee is going to bow. And every mouth is going to confess that he is Yahweh. Not that he is Lord or God, that he is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. They're going to confess it. Oh, yes, he is. He is. It's better for man not to even hear this and not know than for you to hear and to know and to reject his truth. When you're taking us away from, quote, God, you're a liar. You take it away from you, from your traditions, and our traditions. You came into his knowledge with a little Baptist in you, a little Methodist in you, a little white in you, a little black in you, a little Hispanic. A little Jewish in you, a little proud in you, a little haughtiness in you. You came in thinking you had something to offer. And you did not allow him to crucify because you will not crucify yourself. And so he's got to divest you of all of that trash. It's taking him a while to get that trash out of you. Well, the Lord would tell me, no, John said he was there for the word of Yahweh. That's what he was there for. He was there to hear the word of faith. And that should be a testimony, that witness of these words that he was speaking. I don't think he's going to come down and speak to you in your rebellious mind. Think he was going to do anything different for you than he did for someone else? He spoke the word of faith unto Moses. He believed in his name. You think he's going to do something else to you? Elijah did a profound thing there with the prophets of Baal. And the folks believed, they feared Yahweh, and they glorified his name. That's what they did. They feared him and they glorified his name. And they destroyed all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. You think he's going to do something different for you? You're a fool. He's going to do about his preaching. Why? Because he's told them about the foolishness of preaching. To save those that believe. Yeah, that's how he's done it. Not intellectual capacity, but preaching. And if you look up that word, take and look it up and see what the word preaching means. It means to be a herald, to cry loud. That's what it means. To be vociferous. To speak loudly. That you will have no doubt at all what I'm saying. And I don't waver with words. I don't bend them. I tell you your sins. Wicked. Corrupt. And that's not what he called his house to be. He called us to be holy and pure and clean. Devoted unto him. How are you going to be devoted? Which one of you all have a husband you married once who want a husband not know his name? Is he not a husband man? We're such, filled with such hypocrisy. Do you want to know your husband's name? What is his name? David. Sister Ray, is that your name? Sister Robinson? What is that man's name beside you? Ray Robinson. Who is that? He is our husband man. And we don't know our husband, man. Sister Deborah, do you know that gentleman? What's his name? Brother that's your what? Sister Dina, who is that man beside you? Sister Teresa Becker, who is that man beside you? Who is that? Say it loud. My husband. Husband man. Husband man. May I ask you, my precious sister, who is that man beside you? Who is that? He's your husband man. He's your protecting provider. He's your head. Would it be strange if you know him as just husband man? Wouldn't you want to know his name? For that name, you can sense him. You can sense his personality. Sure it is. Sure it is. Shitty, all you want to. That's the truth. Oh, Sister Lisa wouldn't have to call him. Oh, James. She wouldn't want to say husband. Well, she may say that. She wants us to sense him. She say James. If she got ways she can call that name James, they get his fully undivided attention. She has ways to call that name. Sister Lee, who is that beside you? What's his name? Who is that? Do you know how to call that name whereby he melt? I know you do. Can she do that, Brother Kevin? And she can say Kevin in a way like nobody else. I can't say it like that. She gives the power to that name and the glory. And he says, help me, Father. His strength rises to the fullness. The capacity of his love is over exploding. No, I can't stand like Sister Lee. I say, Brother Tanner, come on, man. She says it in a way that she gets his full attention. And that's why he wants to call his name, whereby we get his undivided attention. He is our husband, man.
He wants us to say, your way. Our Father, your way. He gives glory unto his name. You see, that's what she does. She gives glory unto Brother Sean's name. Sean. She gives honor to that name. You boys can say what you want to. I've been married long enough to know that they can say it in a way that they can get your last nickel. They can get you out of the bed and do something that you don't even feel like doing. Ain't that right? All right. Glory. So he is our husband man. He is the husband man, isn't he? Doesn't he prune? Doesn't he prune back? So he's a husband man. I would like to know the husband man that's pruning me. I would like to know his name. Hold up, who are you cutting? You can't do that. What is your name? Well, I'm the Lord. That doesn't tell me anything. But he says, I'm your way. I say, oh, prune me. Shake me. Mold me. Make me. Whatever it takes your way. You can just see how this Catholicism has done the job that it's done to eradicate his name. I study history. You can be all bright all you want to. I don't know the things that have transpired in the land or the earth. We have historians and men that are properly trained, have spent their lives studying that. You are most ignorant to deny that. That's just like an English professor, a man that has spent many years to get his PhD. You think you can dictate to that? You think I can tell that man how to speak? You tell me I can tell him the proper enunciation of words? He has spent his life on that. And we're such an ignorant generation because of our pride. We say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. Because of your pride. And because it will show you how wrong you are. And you just don't want to say you're wrong. You don't want to say you're wrong. You take a husband and wife, they disagree on something. He began to show all his wrong. Her wrong. He never tells his wrong now. No, it doesn't start that way. Now, when Yahweh bring repentance and remorseful in there, he began to see his wrong. He began to see his fault. She began to see her fault. But he will point out every wrong that she's done. She will point out every wrong that it will counter. She will point out all of his wrongs until there's a true spirit of repentance. Then he began to see his wrong. She began to see her wrong. And then there's a sorrowfulness. There's a brokenness. There's a contriteness. There's a repentance. And there's a love. And there's a oneness that is brought together in that mutuality of both of them regarding each other. He won't say, Sister Shelley. He'll say, Sister Marshelle. Marshelle, or whatever the sweet name he calls her. She won't say, Randy needs me. She said, no, Randy. I can't say it like she can say it, brother. Believe me. Cause the knees to buckle and all. And when we do that to our Father, it just calls him to glory in that. He stands in the midst. He just glories in it. If you think his name is not important unto him, you're wrong, saints. It's very important. That's what this wicked whore has done. That's why I call the Pope the Holy Father. They call him the Holy Father. But he has a name, doesn't he? John Pope Paul II. They all have names. Sure they do. I'm going to love it. The more I see it in scriptures, I'm going to glorify it. I want to read some scriptures. The scripture says, turn quickly to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 36. I want to preach this today and get it all in. Because we're going to offer up little Dorfus Josiah unto Yahweh today. That he may be dedicated to the temple of Yahweh's service. That he may be like a Samson, unspotted from the world. Don't let the world shave him or shape his mind. But let the truth of Yahweh. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. You offer up these children today as soon as they're born. Unto rap music. Filth. That's what they do. That's the truth. The scripture says in Luke chapter 19. Verse 36. Now this is the triumphant, as they call the triumphant entrance of Messiah into Jerusalem. Now listen to this. I want to read this. And verse 36, Luke 19. I'll read it like it says in that text. I'll do it to show you how ignorant this generation and how ignorant you are to reject his name. As he went, they spread their clothes in the way. As Messiah went, they spread their clothes in the way. Verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. Listen now. They began to rejoice. Is that what it says? And they began to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Messiah told us that the works he do them hitherto because his Father doth those works. Now I know it should say they praise Yahweh, but I'm doing this for your understanding and for those that will hear this broadcast. He says, look at what they said in verse 38. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh. He had to come now in the name of the Lord. Now, what name did he come in? If the Lord has a name, what name did the King come in? He had to come in a name. And it wasn't Jesus, saints. It was Yahshua. It wasn't Yeshua, but Yahshua. He said, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of your way. That's the proper rendition.
Amen.
But he said, blessed is the one that cometh in the name. Now you tell me those 1,286 times, and 1,200 mostly relate to him and his name. You tell me that that means his authority in all of those places. If it means his name in one place, then he has to have a name.
Amen.
If it means name one place, he has to have a name. He has to. He has to. It must be. Amen. I am the Lord God. That is my name. And my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praises unto any graven images. I am the Lord God. That is my name. I am Yahweh. And that is my name. That's the truth. I have the proper rendition, saints. That's the truth. I will not even want to jeopardize the souls of the folks which at this latter hour trying to destroy truth. Now look at what David said in Psalm 72. No, that's not where I want to go. Psalms 96. You follow along with me. Now I'm going to move, jump back and forwards. Now not something just straight through. All right? But Psalms 96 verse 8. You write these scriptures down and you prove whether Yahweh is true or his word is true. Not trying to prove me wrong, because you're not going to do that.
Amen.
He is in me.
Amen.
And that's the hope of his truth manifested in me. So you can't do that. Psalms 96 verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord. All right? That's what it says in your rendition. It said, give unto what? The Lord what? The what? Now, go back now. It said, give unto the Lord now. Thee. That must be one specific one, okay? Give unto thee, Lord. All right, what? No, what? The glory. Do what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? Unto what? It says, give him glory, do unto his name. And that's why that day in Jerusalem, they blessed the name of Yahweh, because glory was due unto his name.
Amen.
They knew the scripture.
Amen.
They had the Torah. They had the prophets and Moses.
Amen.
They had the Psalms and Solomon.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Amen.
It says, give unto Yahweh the glory, do unto his name. Bring in an offering and coming into his court. You come into a king's court, you tell me you don't bless his name. Hail Caesar, Pontius Pilate. Bless you, Mr. George W. Bush. You tell me you come into the house of a God you say you know, and he has no name, he is just some generic form. Not so. Not so. Not so. Give unto his name the glory. The glory.
You bless, praise the Lord, as that says. It tells you to bless his name. He has a name. He needs to be identified. Who are you blessing? Which Lord? There are many. Which God? Which one? He needs to be identified. That's the one I say. What's his name? Your way. What is his song's name? Your Huah. Because in that name is salvation or the name. Psalms 115, verse 1. Psalms 115, verse 1. It says, I will read it as it is in that rendition of scripture you have. Now unto us, O Lord, not unto us now, O Lord, not unto us, repeated that, but unto thy name, give what?
Glory.
Give glory. That was the cry of the Psalm of David. Not unto us your way, not unto us your way, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Not unto us, Father, but unto thy name give glory. Unto thy name. What a scripture. Not unto us. We're not even worthy of any glory. We're not even worthy. We don't need no accolades of praise, but unto thy name. We give glory to your name, Father. The enemy keep you from that because he despised the Father's name. He hates everything about him. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a thief. That's all he comes to do, to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. That's all he comes to do. And David said, not unto us, but unto thy name. Give glory unto it. And he did it. He did it. I'll show you where he says that, all right? Give glory unto thy name, Father. Psalm 79, verse 9. I want you to move quickly. Psalms 79, verse 9. Psalm 79, verse 9, David, he cries and he declares unto us. Do you need Yahweh's help? Do you need the Father's help? Huh? You need his help. I know I do. And this is what he says in Psalm 79, verse 9. He said, help us, O God, of our salvation. For what reason? For the glory of thy name. And deliver us and purge away our sins. For what reason? For what reason? For his what? For his name's sake. Baptizing them in the name. He said, for your name's sake, purge us of our sin. Cleanse us for the sake of your name. For your name is holy. It is a glorious name. It's a hallowed name. And for that sake, cleanse us for the sake of your name, not for us. Not for what we have done, because we're nothing but a filthy pile of trash. We're nothing but filthy, sinful, wicked people. That by the blood of Messiah, we have been cleansed from all of our sin. That's it. But I say to you, the only thing we got to offer him is thanksgiving unto his name and glory unto his name. There ain't nothing else. We don't even offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice. We have dead. We're plucked up. No life in our praises. No life in our worship. No life in our thanksgivings unto him. So don't tell me you offer your body as a living sacrifice. You're dead, you're quiet, there's no energy, no effervescence for him. Not whatsoever. You got to exercise this faith. I said to my wife this morning, I feel so lethargic at times because I know what it is. A couple of years ago when I was exercising and running, I felt I would have energy. I just don't have the energy now. And I know it's a very tedious thing to get back in. It's hard for you to do that. Because we're lazy people. I just don't want to exert the energy in doing that. But I know that's what it's going to take. Because I have such energy, I can get up and go. No bones cranking now. Because we don't want to exercise. That's the same with our faith. We don't want to exercise our faith. That's why we haven't grown. We haven't gotten up. We need to get up in the divine places with him. And so I said, there, I'm committed. I'm going to start back. Because I know what it did for me then. And if it did for me then, it's going to even do greater now. So I got to go back to those premises, those foundational premises. Now I got to work from that. Yeah, I got to work from that. And once I began to work from that, then I can go beyond that. I may be able to walk just 1 mile, but out the wall, I'll be able to make walk 5. But I got to start somewhere. And you got to start somewhere. You got to start, first of all, in your own heart. Let him show you what's in you. Let him reveal what's in you, and then you got to cleanse yourself. He showed you mercy and truth. He showed you mercy. He is forever merciful unto his house. And by that he purged your iniquity. That's what he showed us. In that long suffering. In that long suffering has been nothing but mercy. Nothing but mercy. Nothing but the mercy and the grace of Yahweh. And that's the truth. Glory to his name. In Psalm 72 verse 18. Psalm 72 verse 18.